Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Now, 51551 is the text. Now, my next guests are secondary school teachers. They're in Tallinn, Dublin, and they've collected stories of people seeking international protection in Ireland. And in telling the experiences of asylum seekers, refugees and migrants, they are calling for compassion, they're calling for kindness, and they're asking us all to challenge the anti-immigrant rhetoric out there. Melanie Martin and Leah O'Shaughnessy have written Are We Human? Stories of Seeking Refuge, and they're live in studio. Welcome.
Hi, thanks very much.
How are you? Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Are you off school today or are you...
We're actually back in. Yeah, yeah. We were very lucky we got the morning off, but we'll be back in after this. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Very good. Like, you're both secondary school teachers.
We are.
And in Tallinn as well. Melanie, you're actually from Tallinn.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I've lived there my whole life and I work there as well. A very, very proud Tallinn woman. Yeah.
They all are.
Yeah.
This is it. And you've worked, you look very young, but it says here you've worked 13 years in the education.
So 13 years in the education system, and I suppose I think for both Leah and I, it's our passion project. I think it's a vocation, and it's something that I've always loved. Yeah,
yeah, so it's pure vocation, Leah.
Yeah,
you're the blow-in.
I'm the blow-in. Yeah, no, I'm not in it as long as Mel. No, but we're partners in crime, yeah, and we're joined at the hip, and yeah.
Where's the home place for you then?
I'm originally from Dolphin's Barn Flats.
Oh, yeah. My God, yeah.
Yeah.
Where's Dolphin's Barn now, if you were giving directions to someone who hadn't been to Dublin?
I'd say near the Clume Hospital.
That's the landmark.
Go from St. Patrick's, walk in that direction, eventually you'll come there. Brilliant. So Melanie, why did you write this book? You're school teachers. It almost feels like it's outside your education sector thing, but it's not, is it?
No, and I think this passion project started for Leah and I a couple of months ago. We have done work with Philip O'Callaghan in the Exam Craft group on journals for schools, kind of creating cultural awareness. And I suppose there's been an ever-changing landscape in Ireland at the moment, a rise in anti-immigration rhetoric, and it's, I suppose, a hostility towards a vulnerable group. And I suppose when you're in a school, schools are microcosms of society,
right.
And we promote the values of acceptance and human compassion. And I suppose for Leah and I, we were torn, and from an empathetic place of looking at an Ireland that was beginning to change that landscape, and really recognising that actually we need to give a voice to those that have remained voiceless in a really diverse Ireland at the moment. And I think our shared humanity, we've seen the dehumanisation of people. Mm-hmm. And actually the Irish are the most welcoming people. And I think we need to remember that place of compassion in our hearts. So that's kind of what led us to this.
That's the reason for the project. And Leah, do you think the country... Do we have a negative attitude towards immigration? Because we've been very generous and very open. And people will point out to those stats, you know, our population has gone up 10% in the last 10 years. And it's mostly driven by immigration.
Yeah. And, you know, the Irish are absolutely incredible in how welcoming they are. You know, we are a nation of immigrants historically, you know, and actually in the book, Are We Human? We have stories from Irish people who have opened their homes and have welcomed people in, you know, refugees, asylum seekers, those who are struggling. And I suppose there's so much good in Ireland and there's such great people. I suppose they do it quietly. And they do it behind the scenes. And I guess for myself and Mel, when we were creating Are We Human, we wanted this to be the voice of those people.
Yes.
And the celebration rather than, you know, the quite loud minority, the other side.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a small group, but they do have quite an impact.
Yeah.
And they've kind of sent fear across the political establishment on parties of all sides, haven't they? Because it's created a suspicion that maybe that we all are thinking these negative things about immigrants because public services are in a bad way, and we just start to blame what seems to be in front of us, the problem, which is now immigration, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think as well, you know, for myself and Mel, we just wanted to bring a reminder of our humanity, and that, you know, when you read these people's stories and you see the suffering and the pain and the trauma that they've been through and what they faced, that, you know, when you see the humanity behind these people, you could never burn somebody out of a tent, or you could never attack somebody on the street when you see the raw suffering that they have endured in their life.
So taken as a broad topic, people can have strong views. But if you go into personal stories and you find out who these people are, why they're here, the legitimate cases, Melanie, and that's who you've spoken to. You've recorded these stories of people from all around the world.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I suppose Are We Human reminds us that the worth of every human life is not bound by geography and where you're born. It's not bound by borders. And actually, like, I really believe that we have a moral obligation to hear people's stories. And I think the rhetoric in Ireland right now is an us and them. And actually, why does it have to be that? And actually, we should never be divided, because I suppose we live in a world where human rights issues are consistently breached. We don't live in a fair world. And in Ireland, we, for the most part, have gotten it right. We have a safe space for people. And when you listen to these stories, most people think it's, you know, some of the lines that I've heard are, you know, they're economic migrants. They're coming here to profit off the government or off the state. And actually, when you read the stories in our book, Are We Human? What you're going to actually realise is these are incredibly skilled, educated, and in a lot of cases, people that didn't actually have issues with regards to their money. They're coming here seeking safety, and there isn't a price on that.
And these are the genuine cases you're talking about. I mean, obviously, there are economic migrants. I mean, we've spread plenty of them ourselves around the world. But the majority of asylum cases are actually rejected in Ireland. That's the case, isn't it?
Yeah, that's statistically the case. So I suppose, you know, over 60% of asylum applications were refused at the initial stage.
In 2023?
In 2023 and in 2024. I think at the moment we need to pause for reflection. Yes, there has been a rise in immigration, but there has also been a global rise in wars and conflicts.
Yeah.
We're living in a time of great instability in the world.
In fact, there is a belief, isn't there, that the immigration crisis is kind of being caused on purpose in order to cause the sort of disaffection we're seeing in the political establishments all across Europe at the moment. But let's go to the personal stories. There's the book opens, doesn't it, with a Palestinian man and what he's endured.
Yeah, so the book opens with a story from a very good friend of ours, Khaled. Yeah. And Khaled is one of the most incredible people I think myself and Mel have ever met. We were so lucky when we were creating the book, Are We Human, to meet him. That man has been through something that I suppose would be unimaginable to myself and yourself, you know, to go through war, to go through conflict, to go through the loss of your wife when you have two young children to care for. And he was lucky enough to make it to Ireland, and he was lucky enough to get his children here.
And to find them.
To find them, yeah.
And
to
the
find
story follows that, it's that journey. Yeah.
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 How is he now? Has he been granted asylum? Do you know his status?
Khaled was actually born in Belfast. So his dad was over here on a scholarship. And so he was born here and then returned with his mum and dad to live the rest of his life, what he had hoped would be the rest of his life in Gaza. And so he was lucky enough to be able to come here. He has an Irish passport. But I suppose his struggle was trying to get his family out.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, not all of his family made it.
Yeah. One of the extraordinary stories in that horror, which is over a year now. But it also shows that this man people might see walking down the street who looks different to the rest of us. He's got the Irish passport.
Yeah.
And he's coming from a war zone all the same. Uliana, who came from Ukraine.
Yeah, an incredibly skilled, trained doctor, incredibly well educated. And she has arrived into Ireland and none of her skills or her education have been recognised. She studied to the highest degree, and yet she has come to Ireland and I suppose had to redefine herself because we didn't recognise her qualifications.
Not even as a nurse. She's a qualified doctor, but
she's a qualified
doctor.
Couldn't
even practice as a nurse.
No, and I think there's a really important kind of space there that we need to look at, that, you know, we've incredibly skilled people coming into Ireland, and that community integration piece is about looking at the people that are here and how we can all integrate into society. And for the most part, Irish society functions on people that have come here and are willing to work and contribute to our healthcare system, our teaching, everything, you know.
Yeah.
Tell us some of the other people then, the other stories that you came that really moved you in this book.
Yeah, I think for Leah and I, the book brought us on a journey, and part of the journey was actually meeting a few members from the Somalian community. We have met people like Mustafa and Liban, who actually shine a light on, I suppose, the difficulties if you have additional needs. So Mustafa came to Ireland, he was visually impaired. Mm-hmm. We had Liban, who at the time had never received a diagnosis and had never actually even received a wheelchair and is reliant on a wheelchair. Their integration through the Sanctuary Runners has been one of the most incredible integration models we have ever seen. And because of that, we've chosen the Sanctuary Runners as our charity partner.
This is the charity that links Irish citizens with asylum seekers or people who've been granted asylum, and you can literally run alongside them.
Yes. Yeah.
Go for a jog.
Yeah, yeah, Sanctuary Runners are incredible. So they actually bring people from the direct provision centres to the park run every Saturday. And the whole idea behind it is that, you know, get them out walking, jogging, running, whatever you like. There's no pressure to run.
I can't run.
But yeah, the whole idea is, you know, to exercise for your mental health first and foremost, but then the most important part of it is that community integration, that you're meeting the people in your community and that you're breaking down those barriers, you're breaking down that segregation.
You have a chat and find out who they are.
Just having a chat. And you know, myself and Mel went out to the Sanctuary Runners, and we go out to the one in Poppentry, out in Ballymun.
And we have to mention Kira out there, she's doing an incredible job, and all of the team, and they create this safe and welcoming space. And Kira's story actually is in the book, because we couldn't talk about the Sanctuary Runners without telling her story. And this is the incredible everyday kindness that's happening in Ireland that isn't being voiced.
Yeah. And it's so lovely. I mean, we go, we do the run. Well, we don't run.
Leah does.
You chat.
We get through the 5K. But actually, do you know what we really go out for? We go out to just talk to people. We go for a coffee afterwards. We sit down and we've made so many friends that were never in our lives before. And it's such an enriching experience. And Sanctuary Runners are just something really special.
Do you know, it almost sounds like it could be a cure for loneliness. We hear so much about the loneliness and that the people have no one to talk to, nowhere to go. It's one of those things people could get involved in, isn't it? Sanctuary Runners.
And I would also say, you know, for an asylum seeker, it's an incredibly lonely journey. You know, the first part of your journey is filled with trauma, then it's relief, and then it's the uncertainty of your next step in your life. And they can be waiting, you know, for a significant amount of time for a decision on their applications, and actually coming out and integrating into the community. Like we've seen, and I do have to say about Khaled's story, because we have mentioned it, like the Irish-Palestinian Solidarity Campaign down in Kildare.
Yeah.
They have wrapped their arms around Khaled. They've welcomed him into family. People like John, Denise, Nicola, there's so many people we could mention. But I have been blown away by the compassion of the Irish. And I think if we were to only hear what's on social media about the hate and the anti-rhetoric and the riots, we'd never see the good.
Because that outrage sells very well for social media, so it gets promoted, whereas I'm actually fine with this and I have compassion is not going to get, well, it'll get a lot of hate. Possibly.
Yeah, absolutely.
When we hear countries like Sierra Leone, we're thinking, oh no, this is a strange place. I don't know anything about this country. I don't want them here. That's the feeling. You met Abdullahi from there.
Oh. Yeah, and you know, Abdullahi is so incredible. And what we've realised throughout the course of the book is, you know, Abdullahi was somebody who was standing up for human rights, standing up against abuses, standing up for those who were being silenced. We see it in Abdullahi's story with Sierra Leone. We see it in Mo's story. Mo, who came from Somalia, who stood up against child marriage, who stood up against FGM and was targeted for that reason, just because they wanted, you know, to stand up for others.
I think that's a really important story, because that's another criticism, isn't it? Well, they're going to bring their terrible ideas towards women and their backward views in that country to hear, because we see someone from that country as having a homogenous, that everyone feels the same. But he was actually campaigning against those horrible, you know, tyrannical views against women. And as a result, that's how he has to flee the country.
Yeah, yeah. He stood up for women. You know, he was married. He had a daughter, and he stood up for women's rights. He began his own teaching his own classes, and speaking out against child marriage and FGM, and for that he became a target and needed to seek international protection.
And I suppose with Mo's story, he was an educator first and foremost, and he understands the power of education. And I think for us in Are We Human, our book, we have, you know, given QR codes where people can see free documentaries that are online if they want to educate themselves, because I think that's a really important part of what we're hoping for in Are We Human, is just to shed a light.
There is there are a couple of messages in. I'll come to them. I want to start with this one first of all, because it's about that accusation that immigrants do not want to integrate into our society. Wafa, he was from Gaza.
Wafa's from Palestine.
She wants to be part of our Irish culture here, doesn't she?
Oh, Wafa is...
What a woman. What a woman.
A powerhouse of a woman. She goes to... So first and foremost, she has her degree in mathematics, and she was a teacher in Palestine. And when she came to Ireland then, she goes to all of the protests and stuff for Palestine. But she also... teaches classes. She teaches embroidery, and it's like the traditional Palestinian embroidery and design. She's been invited into NCAD, the National College of Art and Design, to teach classes. She goes up to Belfast, but she does it in order to create safe spaces for conversation. And so as they're embroidering, you know, they'll talk about immigration and they'll talk about things in an open and honest way. And she creates such a safe space for people. She's such a loving energy. But she is somebody that contributes to Irish society above and beyond.
There's an example. That full message, by the way. Right, that's it. I'm utterly sick to death of this bloody propaganda being beamed out across the country. The majority of immigrants don't want to integrate. I don't know what study they've done to conduct that, or like how we integrate, or what you're integrating to, because there's different layers of Irish culture. There are positive messages. Fair play to these ladies for going a step beyond to share the stories of these people coming to our country. The book sounds amazing. Where can we get it?
So it's available across Ireland at the moment. So we have our Instagram pages, Are We Human Ireland. Our publisher is the Exam Craft Group. But we have
I like that, being teachers. It's that's the school textbook company.
They are. And I want to take a minute to recognise Philip O'Callaghan as somebody who has been an extraordinary man in terms of business. He's took a bit of a leap of faith in us. And he really has. And he didn't need to. But this was... a project that he's invested in us in, and I suppose he's gone above and beyond, hasn't
he? It's their first book into the national market, so they've really trusted us.
And Gill Books distribution wing is springing to the retailers.
Book, the book will be available nationwide.
And would you mind if I responded to that comment about the integration? Because I think it's really, really important. So I suppose. You know, statistically, over 65% of the volunteers with IVOL in Ireland in 2023 were actually non-Irish. They registered, that's the National Voluntary Database. And I suppose what that does is it demonstrates their commitment to integration and community support. All you have to do is walk along Ballymun on a Saturday morning and you will see people in the sanctuary owners' t-shirts out cleaning the roads, helping with that kind of cleaning the environment. And I think integration is there for everybody. You just have to have an open heart.
Yeah, you have to have a chat and find out. Don't focus on person because of the colour of their skin. I mean, it seems to be basic at this stage, but we're still there. These ladies are verbalising everything I believe in too. It is just by the lottery of birth that we are born in a developed country. We need more people like them, says Katrina in Coolock. And that obviously was a significant place for this whole debate this year. On the flip side, have we not taken in enough refugees, migrants, etc.? Why are our own people homeless? Where is the open doors and compassion for them? When does this enforced diversity stop? Ask that person there. And I mean, that is a genuine concern of people around the country, even the measured people.
Yeah, and you know, I think a lot of people are very concerned about the homeless people that we see on our streets. Absolutely, and we should be.
It's not a campaign to ignore them.
And it's not. And you know, the two issues are actually quite separate issues. And you know, according to the census, you know, there are over 160,000 vacant homes in Ireland, and there are far more vacant homes than there are homeless people. So we do hear a lot of the time that Ireland is full, but actually Ireland is abandoned. We have more homes than homeless people. And so, you know, I just think absolutely people will feel frustrated and angry to see homeless people on the streets. It's just, who are you directing that frustration at? You know,
take a step back.
Yeah.
And you're asking people to have compassion. Thank you so much to yourself, Melanie Martin and Leah O'Shaughnessy. Are We Human is the name of the book, Stories of Seeking Refuge. And it's out with the Exam Craft and Gail are distributing it. Thanks a million. Back to school now.
Thank you. Thanks a million.
Thank you so much. 51551. We're back with Nathan Carter after the break.